It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe, as every week, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, from the captain's chair and from the voiceofvashon.org, where you can stream me live. Or if you are in the metropolis of Vashon itself, you can listen to me on 101.9 on the FM band, where we broadcast, I think, with something like 5 watts, which takes us out to maybe 5 miles. In any case, I am with you this afternoon, as I always am. And so I've got some pieces of good news. In a world where good news seems to be a little bit thin in the water and the ice is a little bit thin, I'm always happy to fulfill the mission which I set out for this program, and that is that the end of the half hour that we spend together, you feel just a little bit better about yourself and about this world in which we live, this planet that we occupy, this enormous spaceship that we all of us occupy together. I send greetings to all of the places where we are heard, which, of course, on one side of the world is Stockholm and on the other side of the world is Singapore. But before I get to the binnacle list, I have to say that in both of those places, I have had personal contact or messages. For yesterday was my birthday. And I tell you all of this because those of you who had a reminder of that on a yellow sticky, which fell off your calendar and fell down behind the radiator along with those ballots that did not quite get filled in and make it to a polling place or a ballot drop box, are given one more opportunity to send me greetings and best wishes. But in the sense of greetings and best wishes, I had part of my Stockholm family with me for the last few days. Dr. and Professor Mark and his son Tim of 9 years were with me for the last few days, and it was glorious. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. I've not been able to get to Singapore. I've not been able to get to any place outside the limits of the United States. I have made a couple of trips, and I'm going to make several more in the next few months. But so Mark and Tim came to me. And during the celebration time of your captain's birthday, and I choose not, or what I will say is that there are a certain number of chronological years, but I count them also in mental and emotional and morale years, which are quite different from the chronological years, that I heard also from Singapore. And we had a wonderful visit, and we're able to do this through some electronic magic called WhatsApp, which means that what I'm really doing is I am talking to Sean and Barbie's telephone number out in Spokane. And then somehow through this very long string that connects the two tin cans, somehow over that very long string goes to Singapore, and I'm able to talk to them. So it was a wonderful birthday, and it was made even more so because I had not only birthday greetings from all of the children who are no longer children, and in fact, I was talking with one of them today who is coming up not too long from now with retirement and Medicare, but from many, many grandchildren. Wonderful messages from Alaska and from Bellevue and from Portland and all of these places where I have salted the mine by planting Captain Joe's people who are also his children and his grandchildren. And it was all of it just wonderful, which all of it only reinforces the idea that I am indeed the most fortunate of men. And I have said that before on this broadcast. You'll hear me say it again. but in fact, it is all true. And when something like a natal day heaves around, comes over the horizon, as it does every year, and the greetings come in from all of these people who I love and who love me in some degree, they fill up my, not only do they fill up my inbox, physical inbox, cards, letters and cards, real, with stamps, handwritten on the front with the address, and handwritten in the card, one of which included even a verse, a wonderful continuation of that particular tradition. So all of these things are to tell you that even if somehow or other your greeting did not quite get to me because for whatever reason, that my heart is full and overflows with love and appreciation and gratitude for every single one of Captain Joe's people out there. The book today, in fact, came to me as part of a celebration with my neighbors next door, the good doctor and his wife, who is my provider of cats whenever I run deficient on. Michelle is always there to provide, as well as providing cats for many, many other people. And the book is called Got Warrants? It is a question. And the subtitle is Dispatches from the Dooryard. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Timothy Cotton. And Timothy is a resident of the town of Bangor, Maine. And Bangor, Maine is where there is a shipyard where Navy and Coast Guard ships have been built for over 100 years. And Timothy is a member of the Bangor, Maine Police Department. And the thrust of the title has to do with police officers in Bangor, Maine, and amusing stories about police work. And I think that it is time to recognize the difficulties faced by police departments all over the country, and of my unflagging support for them, not support for those who may carry out their duties in an either overzealous and in sometimes even criminal way. I do not, of course, support that. But as a general declaration of captainly policy, it is one of supporting all of those people who take care of us, and that includes the police forces. So the book's name, again, is Got Warrants as a Question. Subtitle, Dispatches from the Dooryard by Timothy Cotton, and it was a gift from my neighbor, friend, colleague, Dr. Scott Phillips, and for which I give him many thanks, and I look forward to reading it. I will not lay out the type of book that Scott said that it was, but it'd be enough to say that it has a lot of stories in it about policing in a lighter vein, and I recommend it. The magazine today is this week's edition of The Week, which is, of course, a British magazine. The subtitle is The Best of the British and International Media, and much of it is reprinting articles from various news outlets all over the world. The reason that I have selected it as the magazine for this week is that the last article in every week is called The Last Word. And the last word this week is by a Holocaust survivor, and she was a friend to Anne Frank. The title of the article is My Friend Anne Frank, Fiery, Precocious, Boy Crazy. Sounds a little bit familiar with maybe some teenagers that we have made within our orbit ourselves. And it's a two-page article. It is very densely packed with both information and memories and reminiscences. And it is not only a fascinating story, but it serves as a reminder of the fragility of the human body and the resilience of the human spirit. And her friend, the one who wrote the article, or about whom the article is written, is named Hannah Pick Gosler. And Hannah is now 92 and is has given the interview to the author of this particular article, and for some very interesting and intimate insight into Anne, her time herself in the concentration camps, and how all of them survived. For those who believe or profess to believe that the Holocaust did not really exist, I highly recommend that you get a copy of the English version, not the U.S. version, of The Week magazine and read it for yourself. The second thing that's in The Week this week is one of my favorite features, and that is best properties on the market in the United Kingdom. And I've selected one which I may put in a bid. It's in the county of Hampshire, and it is called Briar Cottage in the town of Kingsworthy. And the description, I'm not going to read the whole description, although it is fascinating, but the description says, a well-proportioned grade two thatched cottage. Grade two means that it is a historically protected building, and it needs, and therefore it cannot be amended in its outside appearance, but for grade two buildings, you are allowed to, for example, put inside plumbing. So the this property reportedly dates back to around 1580. And then in characteristic English language, retains a wealth of character. There's a photograph of this. It's actually a lovely building, and it's on a lovely piece of property. It includes a plantsman's garden with a chicken run, and it has a main suite, three further bedrooms, a family bath, which tells you that baths per se are a little bit thin on the ground in this house, and a garden and a greenhouse, and about a third of an acre. The Brits still are not all that metricated, and now that they no longer are in the European Union, probably will become even less and less metricated. We may get to the point where we are in this country where about the only metrication we have is that alcohol is sold in 0.75-liter bottles. And the price for this is £895,000 sterling. And I leave it to you to work out the exchange rate and bring it to dollars. But it is looks like a wonderful house. I suspect that there is a considerable amount of watering of the plant life outside the building when there are a lot of people staying there. But it is a piece of property that I would lust in my soul to make a bid on should I be living in the UK. And the final thing from The Week this week is a little piece about Her Majesty the Queen. And we know that Her Majesty has been recently in hospital, and also we know that she has cut back on her public duties for a little while, but she is the unsinkable Molly Brown. And so there is always a little editorial section in The Week. And this one goes on to talk about all of the things that have happened in her family. And, of course, the most recent ones are the dust-offs having to do with Meghan and Harry and HRH, the Prince Andrew. And so the article goes on to say she, Her Majesty the Queen, is endlessly photographed. And the roaring narcissism of our times, which renders the Instagram-obsessed so often unhappy, seems to have passed her by. What makes her tick? Horses, short-legged dogs, public service, watching Line of Duty, apparently. Somebody tell me what is Line of Duty. Somebody send me a signal and tell me what is Line of Duty. Anyway, the article goes on to say and ends, it's worth a study, really. She just might hold the secret to surviving the modern age. I make no secret of the fact that I am, when I went to live in the UK, I became a monarchist. I believe in it for the British people. I do not believe in it, of course, for us. But I have great respect and admiration for Her Majesty the Queen, and I'm hoping that she will, whatever maladies she is dealing with, that she will recover quickly. And so, well done. Bravo Zulu, Your Majesty. I've talked a little bit before about a system called All Coast. These are messages which are sent out by Coast Guard headquarters to all Coast Guard people. And I also send out messages myself to my family called All Fams. And I'm about ready to put out an All Fam, which will talk about my travel plans and events that are happening in the family, children born, children soon to be born, weddings, all kinds of good things, and in particular how I'm doing and my travel plans. So an all coast came to me today. And it announced the applications for solicitations for the Rear Admiral William M. Benkert Environmental Award. And I bring this up because I knew Admiral Benkert. I knew him well. His name was, the M stands for Michael, and he was known throughout the Coast Guard as Mike Benkert. And I first knew him when he was a commander, and I think I was a lieutenant. And somehow or other, we ended up together in a Christian Science reading room together. And we were sitting up at the bar, some Christian Science reading rooms, in fact, that's their primary mission. And we were sitting up at the bar together, and it was not a senior officer and a junior officer. It was two wearers of the shield together, talking about their particular experiences. Mike was by specialty in the Merchant Marine safety part of my service, but he was also a sailor. And when I first met him, he was the captain of one of our Coast Guard cutters. He ended up being the head of all Merchant Marine safety activities in the Coast Guard until his retirement. And when he retired, at the time that he retired, the accolades and the expressions of regret that he was leaving came mostly from the industry that he was charged with regulating. He did a wonderful job. He was a very rough cut guy, and he frequently failed the Captain's Language Improvement Program. As a result, maybe because he was as rough cut as he was, whatever the reason, he retired as a two-star, as a rear admiral. I would have been delighted should he have been selected to be the commandant. But Admiral Benkert was not a service politician. He was a sailor. He believed in the principles of being a shipmate. He or she who puts mates and ships before themselves. And he was able to talk to everybody from the newest seaman down in the bilges cleaning out, a fireman down in the bilges cleaning out those strainers down in the bilges, all the way up to his XOs. His XOs love to work for him. I would have been honored to have been selected to go to sea with him. And so I'm delighted that we need people like Mike. We need people who tell the story in language that the youngest seaman right out of boot camp can understand. And we need people like Mike who, when they are charged with regulating an entire industry, and that's what he was, that he earned the respect of that industry such that when he retired, they sent expressions not only of congratulations and offers of future employment, but also expressions of regret that he was no longer going to be regulating that industry. So this environmental award was established when Mike died, and it is offered to all of different companies in the maritime industry, shipping companies and companies that manage shipping, and all of these people are eligible to be nominated for this particular award. And I am just delighted to have some memories about a wonderful person who was very much senior to me and yet also was one of those people who saw some possible fledgling values in me when I was a young officer and gave me a great deal of encouragement. The fact that he and I both failed the Captain's Language Improvement Program frequently certainly did not spoil any of my respect or my regard for him, and I hope that he is resting easy. I don't know whether he's in Arlington or not. He was certainly entitled to be buried there. The 10th of November is the birthday of the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps and the Coast Guard have always, since the beginning of the Republic, have had a close relationship. One of the reasons for that is that we are relatively small services that belong to some other department. The Marine Corps, of course, belongs to the Department of the Navy, but the Commandant of the Marine Corps is a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Commandant of the Coast Guard is sort of a de facto but not de jure member of the Joint Chiefs. One of the stories that is told as part of Marine Corps history is the story of Signalman Second Class Douglas Monroe, who posthumously earned the Medal of Honor for carrying Marines into as part of the invasion of Guadalcanal, and was killed as he was making sure that the people for whom he was responsible, who were Marine grunts, had gotten off safely. And so I believe, and somebody out there will certainly entitled to correct me carefully, gently, and respectfully if I've got this wrong, I believe that Signalman Monroe, USCG, was and is one of the few, if not the only, non-Marine who is included in at least one of their halls of honor. The 11th of November, of course, is Veterans Day in this country. It used to be called Armistice Day. The 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month was the end of First World War. And in my own adopted country of the United Kingdom, it is known as Remembrance Day. And this will be the Sunday coming up after Remembrance Day is always known as Remembrance Sunday. And you'll see pictures of the royal family as they go to the cenotaph, which is in London. And all of them will be wearing the decorations to which they're entitled. And all of the his HRH, the Prince Charles, who will be the king when the queen dies, and his brother Andrew, both of them have served, and both of them are entitled to a number of decorations. You'll see them all wearing the decorations, and above them, you'll see them wearing a poppy. And in this country, we have a number of years ago changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. But the flags will be going up all over Vashon pretty soon. And I went out yesterday with Mark and Tim to the cemetery to visit with Mary R. And they are starting the decorating out at our cemetery, which is where the Vashon Island Remembrance Day will be held. On the Voice of Vashon today is a wonderful photograph of my friend, colleague, and Army buddy, Captain Truman O'Brien. And it shows him wearing a headset and a boom mic in front of his mouth, but that boom mic cannot cover up this sort of black and white beard, which he is now affecting. And so if you go on to, I think it's voiceofvashon.com, you can read this article. One of the things that I was reminded of is that along with all of his aviation accomplishments, which includes walking away from a crash where he put the airplane down in the trees, that he's also a ham radio operator. And his call sign, should any of you be also ham radio operators, his call sign is Kilo Golf 7, Charlie Foxtrot Golf. And I would be very surprised if he did not answer up should you try to reach out with him with I don't know what it's called in ham radio parlance. What's the invitation to transmit? But flag hoist is just the flag hoist kilo. So send out a kilo to Truman on Kilo Golf 7 Charlie Foxtrot Golf. And Truman is right over my shoulder here. He is... Okay, so he's saying that the invitation to transmit is Charlie K. Beck. So send Truman a Charlie K. Beck, and I'd be very surprised, unless he's taking a nap, that he would come right back to you and establish a connection. So, and I also know that Truman has been a ham radio operator for a long, long time. And I've got 24 seconds left. Truman on my other shoulder now is pointing out to the number of seconds I have left. So it is time for me to say that all of you who are responsible for other people, now is the time to make sure that you take care of them. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again right here.